Thank you very much, Brother Roland. You know, if there's anything good that's going to come out of this, it would come and lie in the fact that the Lord has caused His Spirit to pour out upon us, and we hear His Word and hear it borne witness to, or feel it borne witness to, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Because with this comes the assurance that we have heard the truth, and also it brings to us a simple, clear understanding of the things that are brought to us so that we can fasten them to our lives. And as we do that, it will give us strength and confidence in God. I'll start by reading the first few verses of the second chapter of 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. It seems like the Father in heaven has given this beloved disciple the ability to put down in a few words some things that reach us all and touch us in a simple, straightforward, and yet comprehensive way. Because as we try to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, we all feel like we are living in what we often term as the last days. And as we walk along this pathway of life in these last days, all of us think of a thing that we have been hearing, many of us, from our early youth. And maybe we can remember it far beyond what we would say would be our early youth. The building of Zion, the establishing it in the hearts of the people, the getting ready for the endowment of the Holy Spirit, as we believe will one day come, so that by this power that comes from on high, and it's been termed, if I may risk the expression, that it might come in a similar way as it came on the day of Pentecost. Now, if this is true, and we all feel that it is, then there is a time of making ready, a time of reassuring ourselves of what the meaning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Just what does it contain? Is it great sounding words? Or is it something that's simple and touches the heart and the behavior of every one of the followers of Christ in such a way that it's almost an attitude and a behavior pattern rather than a thing that you can put into words? And sometimes it even goes beyond that and it becomes a feeling that comes from the heart and cements the hearts of the followers of Christ together in a way that's hard to describe to those who are onlookers, because of a great love, of a great attachment that they form for each other. And I believe this is one of the things that our beloved disciple and friend is trying to show us here in these few verses that we've rehearsed to you this evening. And then he points out to us in a statement that's so straightforward that sometimes it startles you and you have to go back and read it again to be sure you got it right. And hereby we do know that we know him. And we all say that we know him. We hear across this land people declaring that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. But this beloved disciple attaches some very stringent requirements in a very few words to the making of that statement. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. As we do this, it is also, according to the writings of this same beloved disciple in another place, a declaration to that Lord Jesus Christ that we love him. Because he has told us that if we love him, we should keep his commandments. He said many things. He said when there was a little difference of opinion between some of the disciples about who was the greatest, who was the most important, his answer came simple and to the point and said, "Let he who would be the greatest among you be the servant of all, the one who served everyone, the one who was willing to put himself out for the other one." He's also said that if you want to come near him, that you should begin to reach out and never let up in your efforts to reach out to him. That if something comes along and makes you stumble and you feel humiliated by this, just stop and think that if you feel humiliated, compare the feelings that must have been on the Lord Jesus Christ when they flogged him before a crowd. Or when he carried a cross that was heavier than his body could endure and get all the way to the top of the hill of Calvary. And he had to have help. And the ones who were along the path as he walked along spat upon him and did various things like that. How humiliating could it be? So when we do these things, the thing we have to remember is that our scriptures teach us that all of the temptations that we have endured, he endured in some way or another. Across our land, and I say across our land because that's the one I'm best acquainted with, there has become an increasing effort to try to make it seem like the commandments have to be changed a little bit, that the rigidness of the commandments of Christ have to be relaxed a little because of the great pressure that is in our time. And they make it sound real logical when they say this. But while we have this in our mind, I'd like to call to your attention a man that denied our beloved Savior three times in one night. And he denied him because he felt like there was the threat of death involved in saying that he did know him. And then after it happened, he realized that the Savior had told him that he was going to do this ahead of time. And then by his life after that, he showed us that then he realized that what could they have done to him even killing him, that would have been worse than what he felt when he knew that he had disappointed, by fulfilling that prophecy, he had disappointed the one that loved him and that he loved the most. You think this is oversimplifying things? I think this is really what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. The simple everyday actions that we perform. These are the things that the Savior lived through. You've heard me say this before, and there's a lot of scriptures that I could go to show you what happened. But let me just, because there's a lot of things to say, sometimes people have wondered why it was that the Father in heaven required our beloved Savior Jesus Christ to come and be born of a woman. And I realize that there was a great example performed here because he was born in a very special way, a very unique to the point that nothing ever did before or ever after that happened just like that to a woman that was a virgin up until and including the time she gave birth. He came into the world as a child, a baby. And he went through all of the years that it took to grow up. And we sometimes wonder why it was that he had to do this, because obviously the Jews thought that he was going to come as a king. But he's born and he grew up and assumed the eminence of the king, the Messiah, the Son of God. But on the way, he learned and endured the temptations, the misgivings of every stage of life that we say that our youth and our children have to go through and they're having so much difficulty with. And so, when we bow down to our Lord and ask Him for help and guidance, let us realize that while we're on our knees at anything that we ask for, He understands because He has preceded us in going through that trial. And He knew what to do because by His own words, He said He did always those things that pleased His Father. And because He did always those things which pleased His Father, by His own word once again, His Father never left Him alone. Never left Him alone. Because He was always pursuing the path that His Father had laid out for Him. And so He invites us to pursue that path that He has laid out for us. And He rehearses to our ears, and I hope it rings over and over and over again. When we need it the most, I hope it comes home loudest and penetrates our very soul. That He understands and that He is always there. If we will reach out with an honest desire in our hearts to serve the Lord, to walk in His paths, to take in His strength, that our soul may once again have courage and faith, then He will pour that out upon us by way of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because remember, and this is sometimes misunderstood, but let's read it and read the words and simply understand the things that He said. I'll turn now to the 14th chapter of St. John. Fifteenth verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now we all know that the Spirit of the Lord, and it's sometimes called the Holy Ghost, was had and touched man from the beginning. It guided him. It reached out and enticed him to serve the Lord. We also, in one place, it speaks of the Spirit of Christ is given to every man. Nobody left out. Nobody. So that when we begin to try to sort out the good and the bad, the Spirit of Christ will help us to discern, to know between the good and the evil. This is the outreach of the Lord Jesus Christ to all mankind. Nobody left out. But as we begin to read in the words of Christ as he came to the people on this land, and he was teaching them the things that they should do, he taught them concerning what was going to happen to them by receiving the Holy Spirit as a part of baptism. And I'd like you to go with me to page 674 in the Book of Mormon, chapter 12 of 3 Nephi. And I'll read the last three verses of the chapter. Now this is the commandment. Repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. You're going to be, upon being baptized, sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost. So John, seeing this, knew that the world could not have this, and he rehearsed it, only instead of using his own words, he remembered what his Lord and Savior had said, and said it in the words that the Redeemer used. He's rehearsing them so that we would know that it was not just His words, but it was the words that Christ used, that His Father had given to Him, so that we could get the message and realize that it was true. Where He said, the world can't have this. They can enjoy these other things, and you can call it the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is going to come to those who are the disciples, those who are the followers, those who are going to, in the last days, by the prophecy that Christ gave and is recorded in 2 Nephi on page 154 in the Book of Mormon, it says they're going to be known as the humble followers of Christ. Maybe you think this is not important enough. Maybe we need something that sounds more glorious. But you want to remember that this Lord Jesus Christ that we say that we follow and He wants us to walk in His footsteps, sometimes the steps, His footsteps when He walked, left a trail of blood. Now that doesn't sound, it may sound glorious to us now, but believe me, when He did it, it was nothing but hard work. And I hope we can all have this come through to us. Because it's like this, brothers and sisters. And I suppose maybe that the reason why it is so forceful to me every once in a while is because I remember a day when a young man that, well, it was me, when I had all but lost hope. And when you've done that, you're in despair. But the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to me, and He didn't say all that you did had been all right. He told me all the things that had been done. He told me what needed to be done. And when I tried to say, well, but so-and-so caused me to do that, you know what He said? It doesn't matter. That's what He said. It doesn't matter. You did this. What He did, He did. He's accountable for that. But if you did it, even when He caused you to, you are responsible, you are accountable, and that's the thing you must repent of. It doesn't matter. There are no excuses. Now, maybe you think this is a hard saying. And I did for a moment, and then I remembered how I was feeling when He told me this. For though He was rigid, He was soft-spoken. And He made me feel like, and when I went on and gave in to what He was reaching out with and softened my heart, He gave me that strength and that hope so that the despair and the loneliness and the emptiness that had been there was not there any longer. So you see, this hard saying turned into a thing that is so memorable and so heart-rending to me that I hope you can gain from it. I hope you can realize how much you have to hang on to. Because it's a thing that though great trials come upon you, though great loneliness will surround you. You can come to the place when hanging on to this hope that you will realize that you're never alone. We have a song that tells us this and we sing about it. But sometimes we forget just what the words mean. That no matter where you are or what's happening to you, you're never alone. Because the Lord is with you. And that's why you always need to remember Him and carry Him in your heart. Cling to His words. And remember that when He said in His straightforward way, without Me you can do nothing, He meant that. And when you try to do it with Him, that it makes His heart glad. Do we want His heart to be glad? And if you think maybe this won't happen, read through the Book of Mormon here. The Bible shows it, but the Book of Mormon is so simple and straightforward. And when I say simple, I don't mean that to sound unsophisticated. It's just clear and concise. Something that reaches you to the heart, to the soul. And when the people turned to Him with all of their heart and poured their heart out to Him and exhibited their complete faith and confidence in Him, their complete desire to do what He wanted, it stirred Him from the very depths of His soul. And He cried out to His Father and gave thanks because of the thing that He saw within these people that were trying to be His followers and hang on to Him and keep His commandments. And it made Him rejoice within Himself that these that His Father had given Him exhibited such a faith. Such a faith that He had never seen among the Jews. Can we give? We're here at a reunion. Can we give the Lord an exhibition of a similar faith? Can we reach out from our souls to Him? And try to begin within ourselves to establish the beginning of the potential that each of us has in being a follower of Christ, of being a repairer of the breach, a restorer of paths to dwell in. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when He walked through Nazareth? When He walked on the Sea of Galilee, but demonstrate to us the very power that His Father had given Him. And I tell you something else that I think sometimes, at least at first, I seem to miss. Even He, at times, sought a place of solitude. And when He couldn't find it anywhere else, He went to walk on the water so He could be alone. Alone with Himself and His God. So that He could think upon the things that He should be doing. So He could clear His mind from the press of the problems of the world. And that's why we come here. To clear our mind of those things and concentrate the focus of our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ that we all sang of here this evening, and our brother so aptly kept reminding us that that's what we were doing. That seems awful simple. But you know, brothers and sisters, when you are most apt to forget when you are caught up in the current of life itself, that's the very moment that we need to be praying that God would reach out and touch us and remind us that we need to be thinking of Him. In the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi, it reminds us of a thing where it's telling us about taking the sacrament of Christ, the bread and the wine. It says that this is a reminder to us and an example of something that we do to show the Father that we will always remember His Son and keep His commandments which He has given us. Always remember. And you tell us, I used to think this too, that you know you get swept up in life and you just can't always remember. What do you think the Lord Jesus told you you have to have His help for? Without Him you could do nothing. You have to beg Him to be there to remind you. And you have to really want it. And so by this, He can remind you, He can help you, He will abide with you. And if He abides with you, and His Word abides with you, there's something else that happens to you. And our beloved Brother John, and I'm really leaning on him this evening, in the 8th chapter reminds you of what that is. That if you've done those things and His words abide in you and you're constantly remembering, verse 31 in the 8th chapter. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you must remember this. You can't go anywhere and do anything without taking Him with you. If you can't take Him, don't go. And do you know what? All of the things that you have in this life, pick any of them. You can't take one single one of them with you through death's door. But there's one thing you can take. That's your Messiah. He will walk right through that door with you. You don't have to leave Him behind. He's there ahead of you. He will be your constant companion through this door or anywhere else you'd like to go. And so, don't go anywhere you can't take Him. Did you ever stop to think of that? That that's one place that you can't take anything else, but you can take Him. And He will carry you through. Fact is, He opened up the possibility, and by His doing that, He made it possible for you to be resurrected, to stand before the judgment bar of God. And that's one of the things also that He reminded me of. When you stand there, you're alone with Him. You can't look to anyone else for support. But if you're counting on Him for support, and you did the things that He asked you, and this demonstrated to Him that's what you wanted, He's right there at your elbow. And He's giving you that support. And what did it say? Now He is going to be the judge there. And when
Father's going to accept his judgment. Why? Because it's righteous judgment. And so not only is he, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the propitiation of our faith, he is our advocate with the Father. And because he fulfilled the ends of the old law, because he did that, he has returned to the Father to sit down with him in his throne. To claim of the Father his right of mercy upon the children of men through the plan of redemption, that by that he can claim all those that are his. And those that are his are the ones who have walked along that path with him. So let's stir ourselves up this evening in remembrance of this simple yet magnificent soul, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom we can all look up, the one that has set the example, not by being high-handed, but by walking that path of a humble human being here on this earth, enduring the pains of all of the temptations and all of the hardships that we endure and that we are going to endure, even unto that painful death. Now, we think that we have the hardships, and we do. Sometimes because some of us endure cancer. Some of us endure handicaps. But the thing we need to remember is that is not the thing that drags us down and away from God. The thing that drags us down and away from God is forgetting the Lord Jesus Christ and our desire to please Him and serve Him. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, it tells you a lot of things, and I repeated one of the small, short things it said about being the repairer of the breach. It talks about those who learn to fast in the way that God asked them to. And when they begin to do that, he's going to begin to bless them, and they'll wind up being called the repairer of the breach. When you get time, and my time is gone, but when you get time, read through the Beatitudes that we call them, where it says, blessed are this, and then this, and then this, and see what it calls and what's going to be the reference toward the one who is called blessed are the peacemakers. You're going to find that it says they're going to be called the children of God. You suppose Isaiah had been instructed of the Lord enough and he knew that? I really think he did. And I hope that you and I together, like our brother prayed this evening, can call Nephi, John, Isaiah, pick one, the followers of God, brothers, beloved brothers, and they won't be sorry we did. But they'll be glad to hear us do it. I hope we can live that way. I hope the power of the Holy Ghost that sanctifies the souls of men who make that covenant through baptism will buoy us all up and strengthen us and help us that in this reunion we can be stronger so that in the coming year we will be better able to remember the Lord Jesus in everything that we do, in every hour of the day or night. Because He and His Father are the only things in this earth that we have today that do not change. Everything else changes. But they and they, their gospel does not change. We can always plan on it. Thank you very much for your prayers and your attention. And my prayers are for you.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. Certainly appreciate the encouragement and the strength of those words that you've spoken to us tonight. Let us use for our closing hymn number 331. Trust and Obey.